I love our church. I mean that. I love this church. And the church, I love our church facilities, but the church is not the building. And I'm thankful for the properties that God has given us, and we're blessed to have what we have. But that's not what I'm talking about when I say I love our church. The church in the Bible, the church is that Greek word ekklesia. It means a called out assembly. We're called out of the world, called unto God. It's an assembly of people. It's a group of people. And I love the people of the Liberty Baptist Church. I love the spirit of our church. I love the desire to love God, to love others, to serve, to meet needs. And I'm just overwhelmed this morning as I've been singing about who God is and then thinking about the church that God's allowed us to be a part of. We're a blessed people, and I trust that we'll never get over that fact. And I'm a blessed man to have the privilege to pastor this wonderful, wonderful group of people. And thank you for who you are. I really do. I don't know if this is, I hope this is everybody's testimony here. I don't know if this has been everybody's testimony for their whole lives and all the churches they've gone to, but I don't dread coming to church. I love going to church. I look forward to it. And nobody has to, oh, my wife doesn't have to say, you've got to go to church. It's Sunday morning, 9 o'clock again. You've got to get there. And Sunday night, 5 o'clock, oh, I've got to go again Wednesday night at 7. I really do. I look forward to each and every one of them. And every service is different. And Sunday morning, Sunday night, we'll have tonight, Victory Night, and I'll be preaching a message outside of where we've been in 1 Corinthians 13 that goes along with Victory Night. And Wednesday night, we'll be verse by verse going through Thessalonians, and it's a different feel, a different flavor, if you will, I guess you would say, or just a different group of people on Wednesday night. There are folks that are out at discipleship and the teen service and all of that, but I look forward every time that we gather together. I love to be here. I really do. And I trust that you do as well. My heart's been filled and stirred already, and we haven't even gotten into God's Word this morning. I guess we did get into God's Word earlier. We'd read that John in chapter 13, I think it was, we read together. And that verse, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit guides and directs and leads. And sometimes Brother Scott and I will plan the service around my message and make sure that the songs all go with it. This week we didn't do that, but God did. And God made the things we were singing, hallelujah, what a savior, hallelujah, what a friend. It goes exactly with what I'm preaching this morning, and Brother Scott didn't know that. John 13 goes exactly with what I'm preaching this morning, and Brother Scott didn't know that as he planned the order of service this morning. But I thank God for what we've already experienced. I would ask our church family, continue in prayer for one another. I see the Parks back here, Brother Greg and Margaret. I didn't know if you'd be here. I know you have things you're caring for with your family, but Brother Greg's mom went to heaven. And this week, she was 101. Is that correct, Brother Greg? And I believe she had turned 101. And she had been a member here, hadn't been for several years because of her health, but has been a member here for about 30 years here at Liberty. Brother Greg and his wife are the only remaining active charter members of our church. They were here when the church began the first Sunday, and they're still here some 40-plus years later. But you be in prayer, and you say, well, that's a long life, and it is, 101. But it's still never easy to say goodbye to a loved one, goodbye to a parent. You pray for Greg and Margaret. I saw Raina's back here, and Raina's mom went to heaven this week as well. You be in prayer for Raina and her family. And a sweet lady loved the Lord, knew the Lord, and they'll be having a service later on in Honduras. They'll be having a service here as well, but also down in Honduras. And appreciate Raina. She's not been able to be in church as much in recent months because she's been caring for her mom. And you pray for her as well. Her mom was here at night in Bethlehem and was able to be here in church, and I got to meet her then, and she's now in the presence of our Lord in heaven. And then I saw Lynn. Lynn came in. Lynn's a newer member in our church just the last couple of months, and Lynn's sister in Ohio went to heaven, and Lynn's been gone the last week or two, and you pray for that as well. And pray for one another, and if I'm forgetting a prayer request, I apologize. We, as a staff, all those prayer requests for our church, we pray together with those together each week in our staff meeting. I pray on those with those myself individually. And let's pray for one another. I see folks that are visiting from all over the place. I have a good friend of mine, Joel, is right down here, Joel Coburn. I coached Joel when he was in college basketball. Now he and his wife are serving the Lord. They just planted a brand new church in Davenport, Iowa. And God's using him there in Iowa, planted a brand new church, and good to have you. His wife is from the Long Beach area, and so they're here visiting family and visiting Mickey Mouse and others that are in our area, and decided to stop in for church today, and we're glad that you're here. I saw Brother Randy and Debbie, and I'm not too happy about this, but this is their last Sunday with us, and we're going to talk a lot more about that tonight and spend some time thanking the Lord for them. But Debbie has her mom with her, and then their two sons are with them in church today as well, and we welcome you folks. We're glad. What a blessing the Ashes have been to me and to this church, and we'll talk a lot more about that tonight when you join us for Victory Night at 5 o'clock. And again, I've met others. If I've not met you, some that are visiting from out of town, some folks from Wyoming here, and some others that I've met that are visiting from out of town, and some that are visiting from in town, whatever the case may be, some you've been here for decades. We're glad you're here. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts in chapter number 11. Acts chapter 11. I do want to take care of some very spiritual business. We mentioned a few weeks ago the importance of the hint of lime Tostitos, and how that God that tied in with our theme, Upward and Outward. My daughter convicted me because I didn't want to share my favorite tortilla chip with the family. And she reminded me of our theme, Upward and Outward. And one of our members, I'm looking for Diana, I don't see her, maybe she's in a nursery, I saw her earlier. She dropped a bag off at my office door today, so I might share a few with my family there. But then I had another member, I have a problem coveting food, different kinds of food. Another member, Tilden and Carol, they posted on Facebook this week a dream of mine. He posted a picture on Facebook of a bowl of cereal. How many of you like Lucky Charms cereal? You like Lucky Charms? I like Lucky Charms, but I'm going to be honest. I only like the charms. I only like the marshmallow parts. I don't like the whatever that other. And literally, since I was a young child, are you like me when you pour the bowl, you start eating the marshmallows before you pour the milk? Anybody ever do? Am I the only one? And probably every time I've ever eaten that cereal my whole life, I've always thought, man, it would be awesome if they just made, I've even told my wife this, if they just made a box of just the marshmallows. That would be awesome. And he posted a picture, he found somewhere a bag of just the Lucky Charms marshmallows, and I found it. He ordered it on Amazon. I have no idea where that's coming from. It doesn't even matter. I have to have some of that in my life. So this week, I'm going to be ordering a bag of that, and I told them all I need beyond that to make my health food dreams come true is just a jar of the Oreo cream. Not the cookie part, just... I don't know why my brain works this way when I'm eating things. There are certain things that I want. But thank you to Diana. I appreciate that. Somebody was listening and preaching, and it was a blessing to their pastor today. Acts 11, we're the third week in our series for the new year. Our theme, as you see on the walls there, upward and outward. It comes from Matthew 22, when the Pharisees, the lawyer, they came to Christ, and they asked him, what's the great commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And we challenge, we spent a couple hours together on vision night, and we've been talking about it, challenging us as a church family, challenging us individually, challenging us in our families, in our budgets, in our finances, looking at everything through those two filters, upward and outward, the time, the energy, the efforts, the resources that I'm using, how much of it is just for my selfish pleasure? How much of it is inward focused? As a church family, we will die when we become inward focused. We must remain upward and outward, and we must keep that focus. And so we looked on January the 8th, we looked at that, and we unveiled the theme, and I preached on that from Matthew 22. On the 15th, we answered the question, why upward and outward? Why do we do that? And we went to a couple passages, but we went to let your light so shine before men. Your light, that's the upward, because we found out the true light is Christ. We're not the light, even though he says, you're the light of the world. We looked at that. We're a reflection. Like the moon reflects the light of the sun, we reflect the light of the sun in us. And let your light, that's the upward, so shine, that's the outward. Why? That others may see your good works, and then they're not going to glorify you, but they're going to glorify your God, which is in heaven. Why upward and outward? So that we can bring others to an upward relationship with God. So the series we're in, I've already got the outline for the next couple of series as we break down upward in our lives, growing in our personal relationship with Christ, and then outward in our service for him. But for a few weeks, we're going to be spending just this general thread of upward and outward in our lives. And we're going to take a look. Our theme verse is found this morning in verse number 26, our text verse, I guess you would say, in verse number 26 of Acts chapter number 11. If you don't have a Bible with you, there should be one in the pew rack in front of you, and I'd encourage you to turn there and follow along. I believe you'll get more out of it as you follow along for yourself. If you don't know where Acts is, go to the New Testament, a little more than halfway through the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, the fifth book of the New Testament. If you see any of those, you're getting close. If you hit Romans, you went too far. Acts in chapter number 11. Would you read verse number 26 aloud with me this morning? Acts 11, verse number 26. Ready? Begin. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The overall theme of this series is upward and outward, the simplicity of the Christian life. I didn't say the ease of the Christian life, but the simplicity. Love God, love others. Christ took 613 commands and said, take care of two, and you've got the Christian life. Now, loving him and loving others is not always easy, but it is simple. He kept it simple in concept, but because of our flesh, we complicate it sometimes in practice. And today, the message title, that's the sermon series title, but today the message title is Upward and Outward, It Makes All the Difference. It's what makes the difference for the Christian. It's what sets us apart. There was something, we see it here in verse number 26, that set them apart, that those around said there's something different about them. We're going to call them Christians. And it says here at the church in Antioch, we're going to study through this passage a little bit. We're going to back up in a little bit as we get further into our message. But it says here in that verse that we read, as they were there, Barnabas brought Saul or Paul, and they were there for a whole year. And it says the disciples are simply the followers of Christ. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. They were given that title. They were given that label. You and I, today, we would probably undoubtedly identify ourselves. If somebody said, are you a Christian? We would say yes. Well, in that day, it may not have been given to them as a real endearing term. In that day, it may not in many circles been viewed, in America today even, it's increasingly not being viewed in some circles as an endearing term. But in that day, it would not have been viewed undoubtedly as an endearing term. But they said, there's something different about you. And they called them Christians. That word Christian just means Christ-like or a follower of Christ. They said, there's something different. There's something that sets you apart. There's something that makes you different. And they were called Christians first at Antioch. They said, you're just like that Jesus. You remind us of Jesus. You're Christ-like. You're a Christ follower. We're going to call you Christians. There's something that sets you apart from the other religious people we know, and it's your likeness to that Jesus Christ that walked on earth just a few years ago. We're going to call you Christians, and there was something that made them different. What was it? It was, we're going to see it in a little bit, it was upward and outward that made them different, that set them apart from the other religious people of the day. And it's really what should set us apart. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we get the idea that a whole bunch of other things other than upward and outward is what sets us apart as Christians. What sets us apart is that we go to church every Sunday morning. And what sets us apart is we do these good deeds, or we do this, or we don't do this. We have this list of rules that we follow. And I'm not against the Christian life changing us. We're going to see that in a little bit. But sometimes we start like the Pharisees to view all of the externals as what sets us apart. And what they said is there's something different about you. We're going to call you Christians, Christ followers, Christ-like. And there was something different about that in every area of life. There are things that set similar things apart. There are motels, and then there are hotels. I think we have a picture there. Now, both of these right here, this is a Motel 6. And as you can see, it looks like they're leaving the light on for you right in there somewhere. And this one below is right near where we used to live in Northern California. This is the Ritz-Carlton Half Moon Bay. Now, both of these places, you can call or go online and book a room. Both of these places, you can spend an evening and you can stay a night. They're going to have a bed and they're going to have a shower and they're going to have a sink. And both of these places are similar in some ways, but there's something that sets them apart. There are a variety of things that set them apart. It might be the location. It might be the amenities. Very often, if you've ever stayed in a nice hotel, although you appreciate the amenities and the location, what really sets those places apart is the service and the spirit that they have. The way that they go about their business, the way that they care for those that they're serving. What sets them apart? If you stay in one hotel or another, you can stay in a really nice hotel and get terrible service, and you say, I'd rather stay at not so nice of a hotel and get better service. And it sets them apart. Other things there in every area of life, there are things that set similar things apart. There are burgers, and then there are burgers. On the left, we have a McDonald's cheeseburger. Now that, I guess, is a burger. I think they say it's made of some form of meat product. On the right, we have, you notice I didn't use In-N-Out. We used a real burger there. Five Guys right there. I do like In-N-Out, but I like Five Guys better. How many are with me? Only a few of us. How many like In-N-Out better? How many of you just left the church? This church is not for me. The pastor is preaching against In-N-Out Burger. I do like In-N-Out, but it's like Five Guys. You can actually find the hamburger. There's an option of bacon, which you cannot find at In-N-Out. Free peanuts. Try that next time you go to In-N-Out. Ask them for some peanuts. See if you get those. You're not going to get those. And the fries, In-N-Out, it's basically raw potatoes. When you go there, your fries are like, they're like raw. They're Five Guys. Have you ever had the fries at Five Guys? You order a small, and it's enough to feed you for like 5 years, and the bag is overflowing. And so there's a difference that it looks similar. You can eat it, but there's something that sets it apart by the same way. We can use this illustration as it comes to there are churches, there are religions, there are places of faith, but there's something that should set the Christian apart. There are amusement parks, and then there is the happiest place on earth. Both have rides, both families, but really, if you've been to a county fair or you've been to, you know, Boomers or something like that, you can have a good time there, but it's a totally different experience when you go. Why? It's the way that Disney goes about their business. It's the things that they do. It's the things that they do that set them apart from other places. And I use those as illustrations because the same is true in the spiritual realm. There are things that set the Christian apart, and those things are where we find our theme: upward and outward. What set them apart where they were called Christians first at Antioch? What made all the difference? I want you to follow along here in Acts in chapter number 11. Let's move back, I think, to verse number 19 in your Bibles. Acts 11, verse number 19. I want you to get the background of before they were called Christians there at Antioch. This is very early in the church, in church history. Verse number 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen. So Stephen, the first martyr, Stephen's been killed, and now the church of Jerusalem is getting split up, and there's persecution on the church, and so they're scattering, and they're going to preach the gospel. May I say this, by the way, as American Christians, probably one of the things we fear the most is persecution. Persecution is not always bad for the church. In fact, probably most of the time it's good for the church. You look throughout Scripture, you'll find that. You look throughout history. I think it was Pastor Tomlinson, I was meeting, having lunch with him and Pastor Dunlop about a year or so ago, and they were talking about, I think it was Vietnam, if I remember correctly, how they had been with a group of pastors in this country. And these pastors, many of them that have been jailed for their faith, and many of them that have had to really pay a price. And they said, one of these pastors in that lunch said, "We pray for persecution on the church in America." And they didn't say that as a vindictive prayer. They said that, and we have one of our missionaries who's in China right now that knows a little something about what persecution does to the church. It strengthens the Christian. It causes the roots to grow deeper. It causes our dependence on God to go farther. It really makes us realize, are we doing this out of religious convenience, or is this thing really real in our lives? Are we really willing to pay a price to be Christ followers? But persecution is not always a bad thing, but they're scattered now. It says in verse 19, as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Verse 20, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand, by the way, you see, when they had a relationship with Christ upward, it led them to outward. They're preaching everywhere they go. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he saw the difference. There was something different about these folks. When he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, and with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, Barnabas, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, a great reputation, great testimony there. And much people was added unto the Lord. Verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So we're here, the story, understand the story. The Apostle Paul has not yet gone out on his first missionary journey. He and Barnabas have not yet been commissioned or ordained from the local church and sent out. That'll happen a couple chapters later in Acts in chapter number 13. Saul, which was saved and on the road to Damascus, had been saved, and he had gone back to his hometown, Saul of Tarsus, and he was there. And they hear after the persecution, everybody splits up, and now all of these Christians are in different places witnessing and preaching and sharing their faith, and churches are sprouting up, and they hear the report, and they send Barnabas to go as far as Antioch, go check on what's happening and go see what's going on in these different places. And he gets there and he sees the grace of God. He says, this is amazing. Saul's got to see this. I got to show Paul. And he goes back to Tarsus and gets Paul to come back, and they come, and for a year they're there teaching and preaching and training and witnessing in the church at Antioch. And it was there that they were called first. There was there where they were identified differently. There was something that set them apart, that people said, these are Christ followers. These are Christ-like. What was it that set them apart? Number one, I want you to see the first thing that set them apart. It was a relationship, not a religion. It was a relationship, not a religion. It was upward. What set them apart? Upward and outward. It makes all the difference. It was a relationship. You notice in verse number 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. They began a relationship with their Savior. It was not a list of rules. It was not a religious routine that they did. Sometimes we'll look at other faiths and say, man, they just go through the motions. Man, they just go through and they just do those things to fulfill their spiritual duty. We'll look at others and say that type of thing, but if we're not careful, we can sometimes do the same thing. We lose the relationship with Christ. We lose the, I'm not talking about losing our salvation. I'm talking in a practical manner on a daily basis. We lose that relationship and it just becomes a religious routine. Well, I've always gone to church. Our family's always gone to church. You ever meet somebody and you ask them, what are you? Well, I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Muslim, or I'm a this, or I'm a that. And whatever it is, and you say, okay, now what church do you go to? Oh, I haven't been to church in years. That's just my family's always done that. What is that? That's a religion, not a relationship. And what set them apart? They turned unto the Lord. You see it in verse number 24. What turned them? What set them apart? It said that they were full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. They were called, even what they called them, you're just like Christ. You must have a relationship with him because you act just like him. You walk just like him. You talk like him. You have the same mindset, the same ideas, the same purpose in your life. It was a relationship, not a religion. They said, there's something different about you. May I say, that's what should set us apart as Christians. Not the fact that people know at 10 o'clock we go to church, we have a religion or a routine, but there's something different about our relationship. This will change your Christian life when you begin to view your relationship with Christ not as something you have to do, but as someone you get to know. This thing of being a Christian is not something I have to do, it's someone I get to serve. It's not something that a list of obligations I have to fulfill. It's a Savior that I get to serve, that I get to love, that I get to draw closer to. What did we sing this morning? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Is that true for you and for me? Think about, what are we in human relationship with a friendship? Well, how's our communication? How much do you talk to that friend? How much do you read what that friend wrote you? How much do you come to that friend for help? How much do you go to that friend's house? How much do you do your best to give to that friend? It changes everything when it goes from a religion to a relationship. When it goes from a routine to a relationship, they were added unto the Lord. It was a relationship. It was, I want to spend time with him, not I have to. I want to read the words that he wrote me. I want to talk with him. I want to serve him. I want to get to know him more. I want to go to his house. There's nobody forcing me to go to church tonight. And that's what sets us apart from those who worship dead gods or their ancestors or themselves, is they do that because they're out of fear. If I don't do that, he's going to cast me in hell. If I don't do that, I won't make it into heaven. If I don't do that, and I'm trying to earn my way to heaven, I'm trying to earn my way to God. That's what sets us apart. What sets us apart? It's a relationship, not a religion. There's nothing I'm doing today to try to earn my way into heaven. There's nothing I'm doing today that's trying to get me to get him to love me more. He will never love you more than he does today. He loves me. He's my friend. He loves me unconditionally. He loves me not because of who I am, but because of who his son is. And I've accepted the righteousness of his son. It's a relationship, not a religion. Christian, I want to just remind us this morning, in God, we have a father, not a warden. It's a relationship, not a religion. We have a patient teacher, not an impatient dictator. We have a comforter, not a probation officer. We have a savior, not an antagonist. We have a friend, not a slave driver. We have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We have a creator, not a condemner. He's real. He's alive. He cares for you. He knows you. He loves you. He desires fellowship with you. And it's that upward relationship that makes all the difference for the Christians. We have an advocate, not an accuser. We have a lover of our soul who will never leave us nor forsake us. In Acts, again, it was someone they were following, not something they were following. The Christian life is a relationship, not a religious routine. Well, Pastor, why does your family do that? And why do you go to church as often as you do? And why do you give in the offering plate? And why don't you go here? And why don't you participate in that? And why don't you say those words and watch those things? It has nothing to do with because I have to, my church made me. It has to do with the love of Christ constraineth me. Because he died for me. And he loves me. And he gives me some commands and principles in his word that say, here's how to live a blessed life and a life that will be, there'll be some protection in your marriage if you'll follow some of these guidelines. And so I may not do the things that many other husbands in our society would do today. My wife may not do some things that many other wives would do. Why? Not because, the Baptist church is just a long list of rules and regulations. Oh, no. It's a relationship with a loving Savior. And that's what sets us apart. They said there's something different. They're not like the Pharisees, and they're not like the Sadducees, and it's not all about a big, long list of rules. There's real love there. Do you see the love when Paul and Barnabas come, and they completely upend their schedule to spend an entire year with the church at Antioch? Well, they just came here. They just met these people but now they're in the same family. They're part of the family of God, and now they're meeting one another's needs, and they're teaching, and they're investing. And there's something different about those guys. You know, the only one I can think of that kind of lived that way? Remember about 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago? Remember that one that died on the cross, Jesus Christ? They're just like him. Remember, he did that. He loved people, and he sacrificed himself for people, and he gave, and he invested. And that's exactly what they're doing. They must have a relationship with Christ. It's a relationship, not a religion, not a routine. What sets us apart upward and outward, it makes all the difference. It's what sets us apart in our lives. It's what makes us Christians. So why do we do those things? Because I want to. My relationship makes all the difference. Why do I give 10% of my income as a tithe? I realize that he gave me everything. I have no problem giving to a relationship that I cherish. Nobody has to force me to give to my children. Why? It's a relationship. Nobody has to force me to spend time with my wife to go to our house. If you're struggling with reading your Bible or praying or spiritual desires or wanting to go to church, may I say very likely one of two things has happened. One, you've never began a relationship with Christ. You don't know him as Savior. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you've allowed that relationship to grow cold. That can happen with even the closest relationships. If you've been married for any length of time, your marriage relationship has grown cold even while you lived in the same house together. And I'm not saying, but on some level, I know one pastor that said him and his wife had a little hand signal. And when he could sense there was something wrong, you know how that goes, guys? And you say, is there anything wrong? No, nothing's wrong. You're supposed to know that means yes, all of these things are wrong. And can I get an amen there, guys? A few of you? And I'm not going to preach on that. My wife's right here. But I'm gonna leave that one alone, but they'll deal with that at the ladies' event maybe in a couple of weeks on February 11th there. I'm not sure, but even when you're living in the same house, a relationship can grow cold. And this pastor said they had this little hand signal that if he could sense it, they would, to one or the other, kind of, you're closed. There's something wrong in our relationship. It's closed. And so we need to get what's going on. It was a signal. We need to work on this. That can happen with your relationship with God as well. That's why the psalmist said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He hadn't lost his salvation, but he had lost the joy of that relationship. Have you lost the joy? Either do you know Christ as Savior? If you don't, enter into a relationship with Him today by faith. Accept Christ as Savior. Or have you allowed that relationship to grow cold? Come back and ask God to restore unto you the joy of your salvation. If there's never been a time and a place when you've entered into that relationship with Christ, accept Him. Make Him today that your Savior. What set them apart? Number one, it was a relationship, not a religion. Number two, I want you to see it. They were living to serve, not looking to be served. Verse 23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, continuing that upward. Then he left to go get Saul, and he said, Saul, we've got some work to do. We're going to give a year of our lives. Let's get back there to Antioch. And it was after they were there, according to Scripture, as they were there for a year, teaching and serving and loving and discipling and investing and giving their lives to the church of God, people looked and said, there's something different there. What's the world's philosophy? Look out for number what? Look out for number one. What's the Christian philosophy? Live to serve. Live to love. Live to help. Live to give. Live to sacrifice. They were looking to serve, and as they saw that there was service within the family of God, and there was service as they were going outward in their witness, and people were being added to the church, and people were coming to know Christ as Savior, as there was service, as they saw that, they said, there's something different. Barnabas exhorts them, and Paul teaches them, and by the way, Paul's not even begun. As I mentioned, that none of the New Testament churches that we read about in the epistles of Paul have been planted yet. There are no churches at Galatia, and there is no church at Philippi, and there is no church in Thessalonica. And those churches do not exist yet. Paul is not this famous missionary, but he's a Christian that's going to love the church of God, to serve the church of God, to give of himself for the good of others. And they said, you're just like that Jesus Christ. That's what he did. What makes the difference in our Christian faith? What sets us? I'm not saying makes us better, please. We're nothing. He's everything. So I'm not saying, oh, he thinks that, you know, Christians are more important than everybody else. That's not what I'm saying. What makes the Christian faith, what sets it apart from all other religions, from all other faiths? It's upward. It's a relationship, not a religion, and it's outward. What do some religions say? Annihilate those who disagree with you. What does the Christian faith say? The Christian faith is different. Christianity calls for us to love our enemies, to bless them that curse you, to do good to them that hate you, and to pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Father, relationship. Friend, relationship. And when you love people that hate you, what you're doing is you're being like Christ. You are being like your heavenly Father. What does he say? For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? He said, if you love those that love you, there's no difference with your faith and everybody else's. There's no difference from the believer to the unbeliever. He said, don't the publicans love the people that love them? That's natural. Then he says, in verse 47 of this passage, not in Acts, he says, and if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. It's not saying perfection, that's completeness. He says, be like your Father. There's something that sets you apart that's different. Why? Because by nature, we seek our own. In the second commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, you guys are Christians, you're Christ followers. What's going to set us apart? There's a difference about us. There's a love about us. The church is our family. We invest in each other. We disciple each other. We help each other. We cry with each other. We pray with each other. We give to each other. And by the way, we don't just do all those things with those within the family of God. We're constantly trying to do that with people outside of the family of God, because that's what Christ called us to do. We love those outside of the family of God, and we love those that love God, and we love those that don't love God, and we pray for them, and we give to them, and we help them, and we invest in them. Why? That's what makes the Christian different. Upward and outward, it makes all the difference. It's what sets us apart. What did Christ tell us in John chapter 13, verse 35, as we close? We believe we have that verse back there, Jeremiah. Would you read that with me? What did Christ say? Here's what's going to set you apart. Here's how people are going to know you have an upward relationship with me. Would you read that aloud? Ready? Begin. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Is that what sets you apart in your Christian faith? Or is it this long list of rules you've kept? Is it this routine that I haven't missed church, and I'm glad if you've been faithful to church, but what we find our identity, I haven't missed church in 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 20 years, 10 years. That's what sets me apart, is I go to church every Sunday. You know what he said? And by the way, we're going to get there. Church is commanded from God's word. I'm not minimizing those things. I'm maximizing upward and outward. What did Christ say? There's supposed to be something that sets you apart. And here it is, guys. By this shall all men know. They were called Christians first at Antioch. There was something different. They gave them that label. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. If you're living for others and not for yourself, people are going to look and say, something different. Something different about that family. Something different about the way they talk. Something different about the way they treat one another. Something different about the way they treat people that they don't know. Something different about the way they treat people that have hurt them. There's something different about them. And what is it that makes that difference? What is it? It is the upward. It's a relationship, not a religion. And the outward. We're living to serve, not looking to be served. And so here's the question for each of us today. They were called Christians first at Antioch. There was something about their lives that people said, they're a lot like Christ. Here's the question for us today. Is anybody calling you a Christian? Is there anything different about the way that you and I live? About the way that our families operate? About the way that we interact with one another? Is there anything that sets us apart? Or we dress up on Sunday and we look good. We go to church on Sunday. We do our religious duty for an hour or two every Sunday. And then there's nothing different about us. Is there anybody that's saying, hey, you're just like, I've heard of that Jesus, and he's kind of like that, and you see, you remind me of Jesus. Is there anybody that's calling us a Christian, who's looking at our lives and saying, that must be a Christian? Their relationship with God sets them apart. Their desire to serve others sets them apart. If we find that there is no difference in our lives and in our families, there is undoubtedly one of two things missing, upward and or outward. Again, do we treat those around us like every other unbeliever treats them, and road rage and get mad at the lady at the grocery store and those that hurt us and all of, and whatever interaction, does Christ change the way that we live? I just got a little too close to some of our doorsteps, didn't I? Road rage right there. I could feel it, kind of got tense in here a little bit. But does Christ change the way that we live? What does it truly mean to be a follower of Christ? Christ told us in Philippians, he said, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then here's the command. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Oh, you want to be a Christian? I'm not talking about the relationship as far as going to heaven. I'm talking about Christ-like, a true disciple, follower of Christ, living like Christ. That's what you want to be? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What does it say? What mind was it who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and here it is, took upon him the form of a servant. You know what set Christ apart? Of course, he was the Son of God. Of course, he was God. But on a practical level, what set Christ apart was he had a relationship upward and outward. He took upon himself the form of a servant. That's what it means to be a Christian as far as a Christ follower. Now, don't get confused. What it means to know Christ as Savior, it's a one-time event in your life where there's a time and a place where you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You place your faith and trust in him and him alone. Once you've done that, you are a child of God. You are saved and you're on your way to heaven, and there's nothing you can do to lose that. But what we're talking about here, we're talking about the label they got here when they called them Christians. They weren't talking about those are people that are saved. They're saying those are people that live just like Jesus did. And what is it that sets us apart? What's it mean to be a Christian? Yes, to have a relationship with Christ, and that relationship leads us to be like our Savior, seeking to live a life of service. And so again, the question, you've listened well. Very simple message this morning. We didn't get too deep into the scriptures today. Very simple, but for me, very convicting. Here's the question. Is there anybody around us that looks and says, there's something different? It's deeper than just a religious routine for them. It's a relationship. And they live to serve. I've never seen anybody like that. They live to give. They're always telling me how good God is and how he could help me in my life. And they're always sharing the love of Christ. And they're always praying with me. And I've seen them, even somebody that hurt them, I've seen them treat them very kindly online. That person that attacked them, they treated them kindly. Bless them which persecute you. Do good to them that use you. That's something different. And they were called Christians first at Antioch. It was upward and it was outward that made the difference. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. As we come to the final moments of our service, in just a moment, the piano will begin playing and we'll have a moment of invitation. Really what it is an opportunity for you to respond to what you've heard this morning. As you've heard God's word preached, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. And maybe there's some that want to slide out of your seats and come have a word of prayer here at the altar and ask God to help you to be more like Christ in your life. I know that I'm convicted this morning. And there might be someone else that you say, I've never entered into a relationship with Christ. If I die today, I don't know him as Savior. We're going to ask you to slide out and come forward and let somebody show you from God's word. One of our pastors show you how you can know for sure Christ is your Savior. We'll have a man with a man and a lady with a man, lady. But what we're doing in just a moment is giving you an opportunity to respond. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many would say, Pastor, you were talking today about that idea of being a Christian, knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. There's never been a moment in my life that I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I do not know him as Savior. I don't have that relationship with him, but I'd like to know how to do that. Pastor, would you pray with me? Would you just slip your hand up? I do not know Christ is Savior, but I'd like to know. I'd like to pray with you this morning. Would you slip your hand up so that I can see it and put it back down? I'd like to pray with you. How many would say, you know, as I read that, really there's not much difference between me as a believer and the unbeliever sometimes in my thinking, in my treatment of my friends and my enemies. And God showed me some things that, like the Christians at Antioch, I want people to be able to say there's a Christian. There's something different about their relationship and something different about their service. Pastor, would you pray with me that I would implement these things? It would change the way that I live. God's word, I'd like to pray with you. Would you slip your hand up? I'd like to pray with you. Pastor, pray with me that I will seek to allow Christ, that people will look and say, there's a Christian. Thank you. Many hands, you can put those down. Lord, I do pray for each one that's raised their hand. In just a moment, and Lord, as we stand and the altar's open, I pray that you would continue to work in hearts. And God, if there are any here that do not know you as Savior, I pray that they would allow somebody to show them from God's word how they can get that settled. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand together. The piano begins to play, and as God has spoken to your heart, the altar is open if you'd like to come forward and pray. Maybe something that was mentioned today, maybe a need in your life. Maybe someone you know is going through a difficult time and you'd like to pray at the altar. Maybe you have a question about church membership. Let a pastor answer that question for you. You have a question about what eternal life, what does it mean to be a Christian? We'd love to show you through God's word how you can know that. The altar's open. Folks have come. You're invited at this time. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that, God, I would have done justice to the thoughts you showed me this week. And that, Lord, they'd be a help to each one of us. May there be something different about the way that we live. That people will look and say, that must be what it is to follow Christ. God, may we not give you a bad name with our testimony. God, may we not approach church as a have-to routine, as a duty, dutiful religion, but God, may it be a loving relationship, is my prayer. Bless now each one that's taken the time to be in church today, and may these thoughts influence us and impact us in the way that we live. God, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. May that be our testimony. Is my prayer in Christ's name.